This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth joins me every Monday afternoon to talk a little Virginia politics. He is the founder and the president of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Check it out online. That is must reading if you want to stay in touch with the world of Virginia politics. Bob, do you have a good Father's Day?
I had a great one, Coy. Hope you did as well.
I did indeed. A nice brunch and a day at the pool with the most important people in your life, and it was absolutely best Father's Day yet, hands down.
You were treated well. So.
Indeed, yes. It was like Christmas for me. It was great. So what's this about Mark Warner coming back to Richmond? What is this?
Well, you know, Coy, a couple of business folks I've spoken to over the past few weeks had expressed some uncertainty and anxiety about where Mark Warner really stood on issues. They've been a little concerned about his position, having to get along with Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, and wondered whether some of the moderation has been going in the way of more liberal votes on some key issues. So Warner came back to Richmond last week. He spoke with the Richmond Times-Dispatch editorial page, gave, from what all reports I've heard from people who were there, I was not, a very well-received speech at the Commonwealth Club to a lot of Richmond businessmen who were in the audience. And essentially, what he did was to detail what he called his list of frustrations with the Obama administration, positioning himself slightly apart from the administration, but not necessarily ideologically. What he did was to claim that the Obama administration has not done a very good job selling or marketing the good things that it has done.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. It's VirginiaTomorrow.com. So what was the reception, you think?
Well, I think it was pretty good because in person, Warner is very, very impressive. The issue that he faces is this, however, that in order to accomplish anything inside the Democratic caucus, if he doesn't want to become a pariah, in many ways he does have to vote for much of the Democratic Party agenda. But at the same time, that's become less popular in Virginia today, Coy, than it was in 2008. So Warner is kind of, you might call this moderate in the middle. On one hand, feeling compelled at times to vote for the party, but at the same time disturbed by the tremendous polarization and partisanship that's going on in Washington. I think more than anything else, he'd love to lead some coalition of centrists, but it's not very easy when the Democrats have, 60 people in the Senate because there's no coalition of centrists that's needed. Mark Warner, ironically, may be one of the few Democrats who wouldn't be too dissatisfied with seeing the Republicans pick up 6 or 7 seats in the Senate come November.
Really? Wow. So I guess
because if that happens, then a moderate coalition makes sense. You can actually be holding the balance of power. But at the moment, with 60 Democrats doing about anything they want, so long as it's not the kind of issue the Republicans are going to filibuster, there's not too much independent power that Mark Warner and, let's say, some fellow centrists in the GOP can actually exercise in the environment that is Washington today.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Bob, the challenge that you write about for Mark Warner, having to, wanting to be this independent, moderate voice in the Senate and compromise and come up with bipartisan bills and be the voice of the majority of Americans who are in the middle, and yet if he wants to keep any power and bring benefit to Virginia, he's got to vote with the liberals and stay with the party to a certain extent. That's the same challenge that we saw with John Warner or Congressman Tom Davis as the conservative wing of the Republican Party really took hold over the last 20 years, and they were sort of pushed to the margins.
Right, and you can recall that by the end of both of their terms, they were making some pretty strong comments, sometimes stronger comments about members of their own party than about members of the opposite party. Warner, I think, was able to exercise considerable power, largely because of his influence on armed services, and Tom Davis certainly was an important player in Republican circles for a number of years. But the fact of the matter is, Coy, that right now Washington is an environment polarized by partisanship, and that those folks who want to somehow transcend that or, who adhere to sort of a more traditional notion that there ought to be bipartisan governance, those people, at least at the moment, are being shunted aside in favor of the people who take more vivid and pointed stances.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. The website's virginiatomorrow.com. Bob, you note that the RTD reported that it seems that Mark Warner's trying to have it both ways. He's for the Obama plan, but he's critical of the administration and criticizes the administration for not selling the plan the right way.
Yeah, I mean, that was a cagey way, I think, of Mark Warner attempting on one hand to show that he's not in lockstep with the administration, but on the other hand, what he doesn't want is that he doesn't want a magazine like Politico to be basically reporting in Washington that when Warner goes home, what he does is trash the administration, because if he does that, he then becomes a persona non grata in part of the Democratic caucus right now. So, my thinking is that there must be some graduate student up at UVA who needs a dissertation topic, in the government department. And, if they want to write one on the trials of a moderate, Mark Warner in a polarized environment, they can get one heck of a book out of that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the latest on the Metro Board? Governor Bob McDonnell is saying that Virginia is going to withhold some money for Metro?
Yeah, boy, do they have a stink going about this one that, Governor McDonnell says he's going to withhold money from the Washington Metro Board because there's not a Virginia statewide representative on the board. He says if the state government's paying, they ought to have a representative. And then secondly, he says a lot of the NOVA representatives often come out of a political environment, and that it would be worthwhile having the state appoint a transportation expert who has a statewide perspective on Metro to the board. I tend to think that McDonnell makes a lot of sense here, that there's no reason why the Commonwealth of Virginia shouldn't have a representative on the Metro board. Now, interestingly enough, just this morning, a number of the smart growth advocates up in Northern Virginia sent out a press release saying that they thought this was a bad idea, that Metro, more than anything, is a NOVA kind of entity. It doesn't serve the entirety of Virginia. These political figures are doing a good job. And I think that what they're worried about is that perhaps if a statewide representative was picked, they wouldn't have the same commitment to mass transit up in Northern Virginia that some of the smart growth advocates have. So, it's a big, big debate going on. My sense still is that McDonnell kind of occupies the moral high ground in this debate, largely because if the state is helping to fund an entity and funding 52% of the Virginia contribution, it would make some sense that they have representation on this, and I think the governor is making a pretty smart point.
It doesn't sound like it's too much to ask for.
Yeah, one wouldn't think so. I mean, I think maybe some folks in NOVA dislike Richmond so much that they don't want Richmond tampering with their transportation practices in any way. But the fact of the matter is that the state is helping to pay a very substantial part of the Virginia contribution here. And the only thing that really struck me is, why did it take so long for a governor to decide this?
Yeah, yeah. Just give us your money, Richmond, and then go away.
Yeah, I mean, that, it just seems to me to be the responsible position for a governor to take.
Yeah. Bob Holsworth, virginiatomorrow.com is the website. Bob, let's turn our attention to the congressional race here in the 5th District. We now have a Republican candidate, Robert Hurt, Virginia senator from Chatham, Virginia, Southside, Virginia, running against incumbent Democrat Tom Perriello of Charlottesville, Albemarle County. What's the latest story from that campaign?
Well, the big issue last week, Coy, was whether or not the independent candidate, who is supported by the who attaches himself, you might say, to the Tea Party, an independent Tea Party candidate, should be allowed in the debates. And we had this kind of very quick, rapid reversal by Senator Hurd on the matter, that apparently the first time he spoke to, I think it was Brian McNeil of the Charlottesville paper, he said, absolutely, everyone should be included in the debate. I was struck by that because I thought, why in the world would a Republican be interested in giving a Tea Party candidate, someone who's going to draw, you might say, from the same conservative base, that kind of forum? And apparently whoever advises, or a couple of the advisors of Senator Hurd, maybe Chris LaCivita, I don't know, you know, immediately couldn't believe it themselves. And about 24 hours later, they issued a statement saying that, the Hurd campaign issued a statement saying that it would be irresponsible to the voters if they allowed a third-party candidate who really had no chance of winning in the debate, because that would point, you know, maybe diminish the contrast between Tom Perriello and Robert Hurd. The only thing surprising about it was that it took 24 hours to get to that position.
So do we have, I mean, Bob, this is really stunning. I mean, is this, these campaigns just started and we already have arguably Hurd stumbling, you know, and clearly off message. This makes no sense.
Yeah, it was certainly a gaffe. As I said, it had all the markings of the campaign strategy saying, "Oh no, how did you do this one?" They took it back early, and here's the fact of the matter, and why it won't hurt him too much unless it's followed by other similar incidents. You know, we're simply in the middle of June. People are not going to vote in November on what somebody said about a debate in the middle of June.
Correct.
But I think it really will or ought to alter the communication strategy of the Hurd campaign. And what it shows is that how in the political arena today, anything that you say is going to wind up in the headlines, or potentially can, and you got to be really careful that you make sure that you say what you really mean.
Yeah, because including the Tea Party candidate and creating a three-way debate is only going to take votes away from Hurd. I mean, he's shooting himself in the foot to allow something like that.
No, but, you know, the interesting thing about this, Coy, is that, you know, probably his first statement was what he personally believed. You know, and this may fit the classic definition of a gaffe, is when you say something that is politically incorrect but actually the truth.
Right. He may believe it, but your campaign doesn't want you to say it.
No, and in fact, the campaign thinks that it would be a major tactical mistake, so they took that back rather quickly.
Yeah, interesting. So what do you think? I mean, before we leave this topic, you think the Tea Party candidate in the 5th District is going to really get any traction and take substantial votes away from Hurd?
Well, you know, he's not all that well known by himself right now. I don't think he is all that well funded. You know, the Tea Party is a grassroots activist organization, so if they decide that they want to act purely here and that Robert Hurd's not sufficiently conservative, it could damage him. My sense is that this candidate is unlikely to get a lot of votes in terms of percentage, but at the same time, this could be a very tough, close race. And so what the Hurd campaign is worried about is that, you know, potentially even 1%, 2% of a vote taken away from them gives an advantage to Tom Perriello. And you can be assured that Tom Perriello and the Perriello campaign probably enjoyed last week more than anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Watching this back and forth out of the Hurd campaign.
Interesting. Hey, we're talking with Bob Holdsworth. VirginiaTomorrow.com is the website. Bob, we have a D-Day memorial. It's the National D-Day Memorial is in Bedford, Virginia, and they have a bust of Stalin at this memorial?
Isn't this a great story? You know, Stalin in Bedford, it's like a movie title. you know, and what happened is that they, it was decided, to put a bust of Joseph Stalin at the D-Day Memorial alongside the bust of Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, and Winston Churchill. Now, there is some historical reason for this, and that is the fact that the Russians fought valiantly on the Allied side in World War II, had tremendous casualties that they experienced in fighting against the Nazis. But at the same time, Joseph Stalin is one of essentially a genocidal mass murderer as a the political leader of the Soviet Union. And so it seems to me that the critics of putting a bust of Stalin there have a point, Coy, that on one hand, one can recognize the contribution that the Russian people made and the sufferings that the Russian people experienced in World War II at the Germans' hands without necessarily saying there's or implying that there's any kind of moral equivalence between Stalin, Roosevelt, Truman, and Churchill. But this has become, a huge spat in Bedford. And last week, the American Legion Post weighed in saying this bust ought to be removed. And so my guess is that we haven't heard the last of Stalin in Bedford.
Amazing. Hey, Bob, what's the latest on the race for the next governor, the next Republican nomination? Bill Bowling wants that nomination, now a two-term lieutenant governor. Is there any indication that Ken Cuccinelli might challenge him for that nomination?
No one quite knows yet. Cuccinelli hasn't definitely said yes, hasn't definitely said no. So what Bowling has done is begun an aggressive fundraising campaign to develop a war chest, probably precisely the right thing to do. He held his first event the other week called Burgers with Bill, in which anybody can contribute anything, I think, from $50 to whatever. And it turned out to be quite the happy meal for the lieutenant governor, because he received about $300,000 in contribution.
Nice.
So if Cuccinelli decides to run, he'll be at a decided financial disadvantage, there's no doubt about this, against Bill Bowling. But it may be the case that Cuccinelli thinks that his popularity with the activist wing in the Republican Party could well overcome any financial disadvantage that he might be at. So at the moment, we still have heard no definitive word from Ken Cuccinelli, other than to say he's, certainly not running right now, that he's probably considering running again for AG. But the real question is, what is he going to do when a group of his supporters come to him and tell him, we want you to run?
Yeah, bingo. Hey, before we let you go, Bob, what's the latest on privatizing Virginia's ABC stores?
This is going to become an even hotter issue, Coy, because Senate Majority Leader Dick Sassolaw came out last week, and I think it was underreported, said he doesn't want it. And essentially, this has been a signature part of the McDonnell campaign platform, that he wanted some kind of ABC privatization. His Reform and Deregulation Committee Commission is considering this as a major recommendation. And so what we have gearing up right now is a pretty big argument between the governor and the Democratic Senate Majority Leader about one of the governor's major campaign promises. And we're going to want to watch this closely over the next 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely. The website is virginiatomorrow.com. The founder and president, Bob Holsworth, joins us every Monday afternoon to keep us updated about the world of Virginia politics. Bob, have a great week, and thank you, sir.
Hey, you too, Coy. Always good to speak with you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.